Welcome to the Burden and Blessing Podcast, a study and discussion forum on the truth of God's Word. Our Bible study series examines a specific part of God's Word of Truth. We pray that through this study, your faith will be built up and you will grow in your knowledge and understanding of God's Word through what you hear. Welcome back to the Burden and Blessing Podcast. Welcome back to our Bible study series. This is Pastor Rob Sowers here, and I'm joined today by Pastor Nathaniel Mayhew. We're going to be discussing the last book of the Pentateuch, the last book of Moses, that book of Deuteronomy. Nathaniel, how are you today?
Very well. Looking forward to getting into Deuteronomy with you, Rob.
All right. I mentioned that title, Deuteronomy, and it's based on a Greek word, really two Greek words. What can you tell me about that title and really how that describes what this book is really all about?
The Greeks really did a pretty good job when it was translated from Hebrew into Greek of kind of giving us an understanding of what the book is all about. And so, as you mentioned, the word Deuteronomy comes from two Greek words, deuteronomos, which means second law. And so basically what the book of Deuteronomy is, I like to call it Moses' farewell address or addresses to the children of Israel. So he is basically, the reason that it's called the second law is because in his farewell address, he's basically reviewing or recapping the law that God had given to his people in the 40 years of wandering as they then prepared to enter into the promised land of Canaan.
Right. So you mentioned that this is the second giving of the law then. And so we can expect to see some similarities to what we've already seen. So one example of that would be in Exodus chapter 20, you have the giving of the Ten Commandments. You have that repeated again in Deuteronomy chapter 5. What really is the reason for repeating the law here again?
Well, let's back up just a little bit and give a recap for our listeners. Over the last 40 years, what has happened? The Lord has brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. He made a covenant with them there at Mount Sinai where he gave them the Ten Commandments, as you mentioned, but also all of the other ceremonial and civil laws that were going to govern the nation of Israel in the years that would follow. And once that covenant had been established and they had spent a little bit of time there at Mount Sinai, they made their way up to the promised land that God was going to give to them. And they sent the 12 spies in. The 12 spies spied out the land. They brought back these huge, you know, bundles of fruits that demonstrated that it was a land that was flowing with milk and honey. It was a prosperous land just as the Lord had promised. But 10 of those spies said that they could not conquer the land. They were afraid because of the size of the cities, the size of the people, the warring nature of the peoples of that land. They said, we can't do it. Only two, Joshua and Caleb, said, we can do this. But the people sided with the majority, the 10 spies that said that they couldn't conquer the land. And God then judged the nation of Israel to 40 years of wandering, while this current generation, those 20 years of age and older, those that were the fighting people of Israel, while that generation died off. And he said, in 40 years, I'll give the next generation an opportunity to go into the land. So Moses then leads the people during these 40 years of wandering while this older generation dies off. Now we're at the end of that period. And now the children of Israel, this next generation, is getting ready to enter into the promised land that God had promised to them. But there was a problem. During those 40 years of wandering, Moses had also disobeyed or not honored God as he should. And God had told Moses that he was not going to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. He would not be able to enter it. And so what Moses is really doing here is he's giving these words of Deuteronomy to the people because he is not going to be at the helm any longer. He's turning that responsibility for the people and the leadership of the people over to Joshua. And so he wants to make sure that they remember what the previous generation went through, the mistakes that they made, how the Lord had blessed the people, fulfilled his promise to them, and that they would continue to keep the Lord as their focus as they then entered into the promised land as the Lord had promised to them. So that's sort of what's going on and what leads up to this book of Deuteronomy and is really the purpose for the book of Deuteronomy.
Yeah, thanks for that review. That's such a it's so important to understand the whole history going into this book to understand really what's going on here. The way I've sort of always thought about it, I guess, is that, you know, this generation, they were all under the age of 20 when that first covenant really was made. And so now it's sort of like this group making that covenant their own, more or less.
It is. They, this new generation, with the exception of Joshua and Caleb, hadn't seen many of the things that Moses reviews in this book. And so one of the things that you're going to see, now remember back then that the majority of the way history was carried on from one generation to the next was not as it is today through writing, although there was writing. Moses wrote these words down, but right. Most of it was carried out from one generation to the next just by speaking what had taken place. And so what you're going to see over and over again in the book of Deuteronomy is this theme, remember. Remember what your parents have told you. Remember how the Lord has done this, how the Lord has done that. Remember what the Lord has charged you regarding the laws, the rules, the regulations, why those are there and in place. So this theme of remember is very much a part of Moses' book as he gets this next generation to take hold of for themselves what the previous generation, to a large degree, rejected.
Yeah, that's right. You know, you certainly see that theme over and over and over again. You can point to all sorts of passages. Remember that the Lord did this. Remember how the Lord did that. And that's such a good summary of this. All right. So now let's kind of go into the outline a little bit. What's kind of a basic outline for what's going on? In what way does Moses present sort of this farewell address to the children of Israel?
You basically have five different divisions in the book of Deuteronomy, different sermons, or what I'd hate to call it a sermonette because some of them are pretty long.
Yeah.
But the first one is chapter 1 through chapter partially through chapter 4. His first sermon deals with what God has done for Israel. So it's a nice review of how the Lord has brought them out of Egypt. It's here in this section that the Lord reminds them that he's brought them out of Egypt, that he's cared for them through the wilderness wanderings. So it's what God has done for Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the second one, this is really the longest one of the book of Deuteronomy. It goes from chapter 4 all the way to chapter 26. And this is sort of where the book of Deuteronomy gets its name. This is the review of the law. It's what God expects of Israel. So he's going to review, as you mentioned, the Ten Commandments, the moral law. He's going to review a lot of the civil laws that the Lord lays out for his people. He's going to review the ceremonial laws to some degree. And there's a really interesting part in this section of Deuteronomy that people might not be aware of, but there's actually a section here in this part of Deuteronomy where Moses looks ahead into the future. And he says that a day is going to come when you as a nation are no longer going to want to be ruled by God, but you're going to want to be like the nations around you and have a king. And when you do, be careful what kind of person you choose. And this is really interesting because the children of Israel, they had no concept of a king at this point in their history. They saw it in the nations around. And we see this fulfilled years down the road after the period of the judges. Finally, you have the people coming to Samuel and saying, hey, we don't want a judge anymore. We want to be like the nations around us. We want a king. Give us a king. And you remember Samuel, he goes to the Lord and he says, you know, I just don't get this. This is horrible. I'm not going to give it to him. And the Lord says, don't worry, Samuel. They haven't rejected you. they've rejected me. And so the Lord gives them a king in Saul. And the people loved it because Saul was, we're told that he stood a head above everybody else, that he was handsome and that he was strong and all of these things. And yet Saul turns out to be a horrible king in the end. He had all of these petty issues with others like David. Can you imagine a king who spends his time chasing down, hunting one person, not sitting on the throne and ruling and reigning and doing what he was supposed to do as a king, but so focused on this one person who he was concerned about, who he was afraid of? And so Moses looks ahead and he says, this is what you want to have in a king. So there's that interesting part of not only looking at the past, but in many ways, Moses also looks to the future and gives warnings to the children of Israel about what their future will hold, and as they take over the promised land, things that they are to carry out so that the Lord would remain the focus and the forefront of their worship in the days and the years to come.
Yeah, it really is amazing how that prophecy about the king comes to be true in Saul. And then as you look even further ahead into the book of Kings, you see those warnings that are given in Deuteronomy coming to be again and again. You talked about in this second sermon of Moses here, how Moses looks ahead to the future, and he looks ahead to that future, certainly of a king, but he looks even further into the future then, especially I'm talking about Deuteronomy 18. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely. The reference that I gave to you earlier in the king comes in chapter 17. He warns them of this king and what to look for. But in chapter 18, he switches gears just a little bit. And as you mentioned, he looks further into the future beyond Saul and David and all of those kings to another who would also be king that was coming in the future. But he describes him in a different way. He describes him here as a prophet. And so in Deuteronomy chapter 18, Moses says, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren, him you shall hear." Now, there's a couple of interesting things about this. Number one, put this in this perspective. Moses had led these people for their entire lives, and that included Joshua and Caleb.
Yeah.
And now Moses was not going to be their leader. He was going to die. And a new person was going to take over. And there had to be a little bit of trepidation among the people themselves saying, you know, I don't know if I'm going to like this new guy. I don't know if he's going to do what, you know, Moses did. So there was a little bit of trepidation there. And Moses here in this prophecy says, don't worry. The Lord is going to be with you. And the Lord is going to raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst. So among the people of Israel, from your brethren. And he says, him you shall hear. And so we have this fulfilled in the person of Jesus. We've talked in the past, Rob, of how every book of the Old Testament, in its very nature, its purpose, is to point us to the Savior. And so as we take a look at this book of Deuteronomy, we do not want to get distracted by the fact that it's the second giving of the law or Moses' farewell address, which is all true.
Right.
But we want to see that through this farewell address and through the re-giving of the law, that what God is focusing the attention of the Old Testament people as well as our attention on is his promise of the Savior and the second giving of the law and the entrance into the promised land was all one piece of that puzzle that God was working to put together to bring about the Savior. You think about the words of the Apostle Paul, when the fullness of the time had come, God brought forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. This book is describing just a couple more pieces of the puzzle that God was putting into place in preparation for that greater prophet that was coming. And you think about Jesus, we describe Jesus as our prophet, our priest and our king. The writer to the Hebrews describes Jesus' work as our priest, the great high priest. Also our king, Zechariah, describes Jesus coming lowly, but a king, the king of Israel. Here Moses describes Jesus as the prophet, the one who would come to speak those words of salvation, but would point us to the Savior and fulfill that promise of the Savior in the centuries that would follow. So a very, very important part. This is probably the key passage of the book of Deuteronomy, which helps us to understand what Deuteronomy is all about and why this is part of the history that God has preserved for so many centuries, because it is part of his plan.
Right, yeah. And, you know, it does such a good job of really, you know, describing why the Lord has been so long suffering with his people through this time. You know, he certainly could have obliterated them, you know, rather than let them wander in the wilderness for 40 years. But he doesn't do that because he's made a promise to give them that promised land. But the even bigger promise, of course, is that he's going to bring the Savior of the world through this people. And this is such an important passage, of course, that Peter, when he's preaching at Solomon's portico in Acts chapter 3, he quotes from this passage and, you know, making it clear that the prophet who Moses is talking about here is, in fact, Jesus.
And not only Peter in Acts, but also Stephen.
Oh, right, in Acts 7.
Who also emphasizes in his lengthy sermon in Acts chapter 7, he also quotes this reference and says, hey, you guys have rejected the one that God has sent. Remember, in that history there, just like with Peter, right, the Jewish nation had rejected Jesus as the Savior, as the Messiah. And so both Peter and Stephen go back and say, look at how Jesus has fulfilled this. And this is just one of those Old Testament references that they both use in order to make the connection between God's promise in the Old Testament and the fulfillment of it in the person of Jesus of Nazareth.
All right. Why don't you take us into a little bit then of that third sermon of Moses then, which takes us to Deuteronomy chapter 27.
This is a shorter section. It's only a couple of chapters long, chapter 27 through chapter 30. And basically the theme of this section is what God will do for Israel. So the first sermon deals with what God has done, that's past. The second sermon deals with now what God is expecting of Israel as it prepares to enter into the promised land. This third sermon, which is one of the shortest, what's the shortest of the three, emphasizes what God is going to do for Israel as they prepare to and move into the new land that the Lord had promised to them. So we have a couple of beautiful pictures here in this section. There are a couple of long chapters in these verses in this section as well. But basically, the Lord through Moses reminds the people of the blessing of their faithfulness, of their obedience, and how the Lord is going to fulfill the promise that he has made to, as we talked about earlier, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. He isn't doing this because Israel is so great. The Lord is doing this because the Lord is great, and he has chosen to use them to fulfill his promise to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and to the rest of the world, just as we've heard in the book of Genesis. So he talks a little bit about what the Lord is going to do and how he's going to deliver this land into their hand. There had to be a little bit of trepidation again, even on this younger generation, as they, like the previous generation, looked at this land and how powerful the peoples were. Mm-hmm. And so again, Moses says, don't make the mistake that your forefathers did. Know that the Lord is going to be the one who delivers this land into your hand. It's not going to be by your might, not by your strength, but by the strength of the Lord. And so he does encourage them to keep the covenant. He encourages the idea of repentance, you know, turning away from their own pride and power to the Lord and trusting in him to deliver this into their hands.
The book closes then with what would we call them? Historical supplements, I suppose, to the end of this book then, where you've got Moses doing a couple of things and then you have his death recorded. Take us through some of the last thoughts of this book of Deuteronomy?
The last three chapters are just kind of a summary of all of this. We've gotten away from the sermons now of Moses, and in chapter 32, Moses simply sings a song. By inspiration here, we have Moses singing to the Lord. And in this song, it's kind of a nice review of the entire book of Deuteronomy and this entire history of God with his people. He takes the faithfulness of God and contrasts that with the faithlessness of Israel. He says, you know, do you repay the Lord, O foolish and unwise people? Is not he your father who has bought you? He has made you and established you. Remember, there's that word remember again. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of all the generations. Ask your father and he will tell you, your elders, and they will inform you. So you have this in song. It's kind of like a psalm. Just chapter 32. David, Moses's song summarizing all of God's faithfulness and blessing, Israel's disobedience in the history of this 40 years, how he's going to bring mercy though to Israel, and he's going to bring judgment upon the enemies of Israel and deliver the land into their hand. And then at the end of chapter 42, you have the Lord coming to Moses and saying, okay, it's time. Your death is at hand. And so you have in chapter 33 then the blessing, the final blessing of Moses upon the children of Israel. In a similar way, you might think about, you know, the last time that a pastor gives the benediction upon a congregation that he has served for many years, and how meaningful and how emotional that is both for pastor and for congregation. Moses had served this congregation for over 40 years, and now he was going to die, and they were going to be going on, but the Lord was going to fill that gap through Joshua, continue to lead his people just as he does today. It's not based on one messenger, but rather the Lord uses that messenger. And when that messenger is ready to move on, he brings another messenger in to lead his people, to feed his people through his word. So it's a beautiful picture of this close relationship between Moses and the people of Israel, but of also the fact that the Lord continues to keep his promise that he will be with his people through the servants that he sends.
Yeah, the Lord always has a Joshua waiting in the wings when someone even as great as Moses, when his time of service is finished. I love how it brings that out in Deuteronomy 34, where you go to verse 9. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses has laid his hands on him. So the people of Israel obeyed him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. The Lord was going to use Joshua in just the same way as he did Moses.
Well, there's an interesting side note that we could get into regarding this, and I think it's very practical. But I think that with Moses and Joshua, just like you mentioned, we have some similarities with the called workers that we have in our congregations.
Yeah.
And a lot of times you'll have a congregation that will become very, very close to a pastor or a teacher or it could be a Sunday school teacher or an elder or a president, you know, whoever it happens to be. And a lot of times when that person retires or leaves for one reason or another, a lot of times, the congregation goes into turmoil and they say, what are we going to do? How are we going to function without this person? We fail to remember that it's not about the person. It's about the Lord who has given that person. And one of the things that you'll see in Deuteronomy and as we move into Joshua, the Lord gave to Moses and to Joshua gifts for the service of his people here on earth. But you know what's interesting? Those gifts were different. They were not exactly the same. And the Lord gives different gifts at different times to different people to lead his people through different situations in their life. And a lot of times we get caught up in that in our congregations and in our work. We think, how are we ever going to replace the gifts that the Lord has given to that person? And that's not for us to question. And a lot of times we think, well, you know, this new guy that's coming in, well, he doesn't have the gifts that so-and-so had. No, he doesn't. But right. He has different gifts that the Lord has given to him. So let's look at how we can use those gifts in the service of the kingdom now instead of dwelling on the fact that he doesn't have the gifts that the last one had. And that's a, I think that's an important and very practical reminder as we see the Lord transitioning from Moses to Joshua. The same Lord is there, but yeah. Working through different servants and different gifts.
Yeah, you know, you talk about the call, you know, sometimes that's really – it's actually a good thing, even when a beloved pastor leaves a congregation, because, you know, a congregation starts to mimic, I think, the strengths of a pastor, but
and
also,
weaknesses.
Yeah, right. And also the weaknesses. And, you know, sometimes it's good to have somebody with different strengths so that that pastor can benefit both from the different strengths of that congregation and the congregation can benefit from those different strengths of that pastor. And what's important and what's so wonderful about our church body, of course, is that whoever the pastor is, it's going to be that same word of God that's preached every single Sunday.
Absolutely.
Well, do you have any concluding thoughts then about the book of Deuteronomy?
Well, just that it's a wonderful review of, as you mentioned early on, this is the last book of the Pentateuch, and it kind of is that capstone on this early part of God's history with his people in the Old Testament. And really what we're going to see now as we move into the book of Joshua is a little bit different period of God's history with his people. As we see the Lord fulfilling that promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, giving them the land through which he is going to bring about that promised Savior. So we look forward to that in the books that follow.
Yes, thank you for that summary. That's very helpful and helpful knowing what's coming next as we move into, again, as you mentioned, the Lord actually fulfilling that promise now to give the people the land, moving everything, of course, forward to that ultimate fulfillment of bringing the Savior of the world. Well, thanks, Nathaniel, for your time, and thanks for listening, and wanted to remind you to tune in each Monday and Friday for a new episode of the Burden and Blessing podcast. I pray that the Lord would keep you throughout your coming week. We hope that you will join us again next week for another episode of Burden and Blessing Podcast as we continue to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Until next time, take confidence in your Savior's promise that he will always be with you, even to the end of the world.